Last week, we were talking about Jesus inviting you to his eternal wedding feast. And that's a wonderful and merciful invitation that you all have received. And what better place to be than with the Lord Jesus for all eternity? And everything is free. Because as I said last week, Jesus paid for it all. Come and follow Jesus. Be one of his disciples. That's what he's inviting you to be here and now. And Jesus was saying that very same thing to people. He was inviting them to be his disciples. And great crowds would follow him around. That's what our gospel reading today starts out with, how great crowds accompanied him. Jesus probably could have even more crowds accompanying him if he would have given them what they really wanted to hear. Because, you know, us poor, stupid, sinful human beings, we've got itchy ears, and we want to hear what we want, what we like, what makes us feel right, and what makes us feel good, and what gives me the feeling that everything that I'm doing is just fine, no matter what God's word may say. Well, we would really rather have riches and power and getting back at our enemies. And if Jesus would have told people like that, he would have had millions of people following him, even to this day. Because that's what our itchy ears want to hear. Many people were following Jesus, and they were contemplating being his disciples. But when Jesus gets this crowd together, he does something that is entirely contrary to what normal people would think he should do. He doesn't give them what he wants. He tells them the truth instead. He tells them that being the disciple of his is going to cost. It's going to cost a lot. It's not cheap. It's not easy. In fact, it's not very glorious either. It's going to cost you everything. Jesus said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost? And then he goes on to say, what king going out to encounter another king will not sit down and first and deliberate whether he's able with 10,000 to meet him who comes with 20,000? So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. First thing he tells them, hate your family. What's going on? That doesn't make any sense. The Bible itself, Jesus himself tells us in the commandment, the fourth one, we are to honor our mother and father. What is going on? What does he mean when he says this? Well, first, you have to understand that that word hate that Luke is using is more like what the Hebrews understand the word to mean. It means, I'd rather choose this one over this one. It's not the way we use that word hate nowadays. Matthew actually kind of tones it down in his gospel. But the idea is to choose the one and prefer one over the other. In fact, that's what we are to do, what Jesus calls us to do. You prefer me over your own family. You value me even more than your own family. It means putting Jesus first. He's your first allegiance. That's who you deal with first in your life. An example is what I read about a missionary during the Korean War. He and his wife and his family were arrested by 40 of the North Korean soldiers. And these North Korean soldiers wanted to get this man to renounce Jesus as the Lord and Savior. And he said, no, I will not do that. And so they said, fine, we're going to kill your family. He said, no, I'm still not going to renounce them. So they took him outside and they started digging pits for putting his family in. He said, I still will not renounce my Lord. Then they put the kids and his wife into the pits. He said, I can't renounce the Lord. And then they started burying them. And he said, well, he started hesitating then. And that's when his wife said, be strong, be brave. Soon we will be together in heaven. and they all died. He put his Lord first, something that is very difficult to do. To be a disciple, you must prefer no one to Christ. And this also means you, yourself, you are to hate your own life also. We are to have no regard for our own likes and needs above that of what our Lord calls us to do. Put Jesus first, even ahead of your school, your sports, your work, your play. That's what he's asking us. That's what he's commanding us to do. There was a missionary named Eric Liddell. Some of you may remember the movie Chariots of Fire. He was a missionary from Scotland back in the early 1900s. He was also an Olympian. In the 1924 Olympics, he was Scotland's sprinter. His greatest sport was going to be the 100-yard dash. But the heats for the 100-yard dash occurred on a Sunday. And he said, I will not participate on Sunday. That's the day that I will be with the Lord. They tried to rearrange things. He said, nope, if it's going to be on Sunday, I'm not going to run. And in his best event, he didn't run. He chose the Lord over his own likes, over his own wants. He would not participate because he believed that the Lord came first, even ahead of himself. To be a disciple also means to bear your own cross. Bearing your own cross does not mean, as some people think, it's putting up with my troubles, my illnesses, maybe the accident that we had, maybe it's the bad weather, maybe it's just the job I had. It's not that at all. Putting and bearing your own cross has everything to do with how you will live your life by Jesus' words. And the world looks at you and thinks that you're nuts, you're crazy, you're over the top, you're too self-promoting, or whatever the world might want to say about you. Don't try to make friends with the world is really what our Lord is saying. You have to bear the cross. You're my disciple. The world will hate you. There is nothing else to realize. And when Jesus said to bear the cross to the people of his day, they understood what it meant to bear a cross, because those who bear the cross were going to the cruelest type of death, which was crucifixion. And Jesus is basically saying, you're my disciple. This is what life is going to be like for you. It will not be easy. And you will possibly die. And many did in those days. And many still are to this day. That's what it costs to be a disciple of Jesus. The cost of being a disciple is to bear the cross of living as a disciple of Jesus. Enduring the suffering that others will give and throw at you simply because you love them instead of hating them. Just by turning the other cheek, others will take advantage of it. Confessing that Jesus is Lord and God, and they'll look at you as like, what are you, crazy, some fundamentalist whack job? Or confessing that the world has been created and is sustained by Jesus alone, they'll look at you as unscientific, a hater of the science and the natural world. That's bearing the cross. Bearing the cross is saying, I'm not afraid to die to this world. And willing to live to Christ, even if the world hates me and wishes to destroy me. But there's more. Leaving your possessions behind, Jesus says. Renounce them all. You realize one day Peter was fishing. He was fishing all night long. It was a bad night. They got nothing. Came into the shore. They started mending their nets. And Jesus came up to them, and he went out into the boat, and he was preaching, and then he told Peter, let's go out further into the lake. And so Peter said, okay, I'll do that. So he goes out in the lake, he says, throw your nets out here. And he caught the biggest batch of fish he ever caught in his life. He had to signal to his two partners, Peter and James, or John and James, to bring the other boat out. And so they did. And now both boats are nearly sinking because of all the fish. This was the greatest catch of fish two fishermen could ever have. This would be the start of a great empire for fishermen. And what did those three men do when they came back to shore with the greatest amount of fish they ever had, probably putting them on the richest fishermen in the area? They left it, and they walked away, and they never went back. Jesus calls on us to renounce what we have. You may think that tithing 10% is a good way to be a good disciple of Jesus. Jesus said, no, I want it all. He tells one young man, sell all that you have, distribute it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me. Jesus tells us that's what a disciple does. They give it all up for me. That's the cost of discipleship. And that cost is high. And I don't know how I could do that. In fact, I'm sure that I can't do that. Oh, maybe once in a while, you might just find a day or two where you really feel extra disciple-y and you're going to do something extra well that day. You'll give a little bit more away. You'll bear a cross for a moment or two. And you might just put your family ahead of something else. But you know, if a man is going to build a tower, he better take stock of what he's got. If a king is going to fight another king, he better figure out if he can do this or not. And that's what Jesus is telling us. Do you realize you got to think about this? You want to be a disciple, it's going to cost you. It will cost. It will hurt. It will be painful at times. Do you want to do this? Because there's too many people in the world that just won't do it at all. We sometimes think we can pay that price, but we're fooling ourselves. None of us can do what Jesus has called us to do. Not one of us. Because like the weeds in the garden, he's warning us that all of these things in this life that we are attracted to, our wealth, our families, trying to live a life that's sort of under the radar so nobody bothers us, those things are actually going to get in the way of him. They're going to get in the way of true repentance because we think we're doing okay otherwise. It's going to get in the way of faith. The faith that we live a humble, repentant life to our Lord, staying in his word where faith can come and be nurtured and strengthened. But the cost that still has yet to be paid is something that's even higher. And that higher cost is that even if we could do all of this, we still wouldn't have heaven. We still haven't the security of heaven because we're still sinners. We're still human beings that are fatally flawed with sin. So Jesus knows what the cost is. And he knows that you and I can't pay it. And so what he does is he comes and he pays it for us. Because sin has bankrupted us. We have nothing to give. We have nothing to offer to the Lord in return for our sinfulness, except our sin. That's all we have. But Jesus, who is the divine Son of God and the human Son of Mary, has the resources to pay the price for every one of you. The true cost of being a disciple is seen when we look at Jesus as he walks definitely to the cross, when he sets his face like flint to go to Jerusalem and offer his life for you and for me, to pay the cost, to be a true disciple. He did it. He did it all for you. And what a wonderful, marvelous thing that is. He says that he is going to pay this all. He will do what you and I cannot do. Now we simply look to him and trust in him that he has carried it out for us. He suffered the hatred of the world. He was lied about. He was challenged by the Pharisees and the lawyers and everyone else who hated him. Jesus was unjustly accused. He suffered and he died. And he gave up everything. He paid every penny of the cost for every one of you and myself. He had no wealth when he came to this world. He put aside all his possessions. He relied on the generosity of others. He relied on his Father in heaven to give him what he needed when he needed it. He had no home, no place to lay his head, and he gave up the glory of heaven. He gave up his family. When they came looking for him, they said, "Who?" They said, "Where are you? These, your mother and father, your mother and brothers are here." And he says, "My mother and brothers and sisters are those who do the work and the will of the Lord." He considered you his brothers and sisters. He considered you of greater worth than even the love of his Father. Because what did Jesus do? The cost of being abandoned by his beloved heavenly Father is what we would have to pay. Being abandoned and sent into hell forever, punishment over our sinfulness. But he did it instead. He went to hell for you. He lived and took the punishment of that, of our sinfulness, and then he died paying that price on your behalf. And now you have the greatest riches of all. You have the riches of Christ himself. Corinthians tells us, though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that we through his poverty might become rich. He set aside everything, and he gives it to us now. He took from us our sin, our punishment, our death, and he took it onto himself. And now you and I are rich, rich with his love, rich with his forgiveness that goes on forever, rich with his Spirit that he freely and abundantly gives to you through his word and his sacraments. His rich blessing helps us to be disciples now who are willing to follow Jesus, no matter what may happen, despite the cost, despite the anger that the world will show to us, despite the lack of resources that we may have, giving those things up, and even putting him before ourselves and our family. We're willing to do that now, knowing that we aren't going to do it perfectly. But we can do it because we have the joy set before us of eternal life. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we know that we shall be too. And we have that looking ahead for us. And that joy is now ours. So we can put up with whatever the world might throw at us now. Because it's just a short time. We can respond to Jesus now with a sincere and heartfelt thanks that's eager to give up anything and everything that might keep us from following him. Jesus doesn't tell us to count the cost so that when we count it, we go, "Oh, I can't do this," and forget it, I'm not going to do it. But counting the cost will understand that it, what it's going to take to be a disciple, and so that you're prepared to do it. And you can look to Jesus to help you get through it. How many of those Israelites, when they left Egypt, would have gone on that journey had they known how long and how hard it would have been? They would have stayed back in their place of death. But Jesus was there with them, taking them through that wilderness, taking them through the troubles, the problems, the trials, the death and the heat and the serpents and whatever else bothered them. And he got them to where he promised he would take them. And that's his promise for you too. So who in their right mind is going to follow Jesus when it costs all this stuff? We would. We would, because we have counted the cost. We know what it's going to be like. We've heard and seen what our Lord has gone through, and we know that's the way it is. But we can gladly give it up because Jesus has done it all for you already. And just like Luther writes in A Mighty Fortress, "Take they our life, goods, fame, child, and wife. Let these all be gone. They yet have nothing won. The kingdom ours remains." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.